Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 69 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cassidy Stearman.
The state requires a rigorous process, hearings, notice, actual fact-finding.
A Rowan County judge heard arguments concerning the former North Fork Mobile Home Park today.
Local emergency crews are preparing for bad weather.
Moorhead State is hosting a resume lab tomorrow.
Pikeville Medical Center is trying to expand care for critical COVID patients.
A lack of non-traditional instruction options could mean big trouble for schools in the Commonwealth.
In sports, Eagle teams are prepping for lots of action this week.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
1 to 2 inches of rain and thunderstorms expected tonight with a low around 65. We'll have an extended look at your region's weather forecast after this news.
A judge will consider arguments after attorneys for former residents of the North Fork Mobile Home Park and the city of Moorhead attended a motion hour in Rowan Circuit Court today. 7 displaced residents filed a lawsuit against the city of Moorhead officials to challenge an ordinance creating the Moorhead Gateway development area that North Fork Mobile Home Park was once in. The lawsuit alleges that the city of Moorhead failed to follow the Kentucky law establishing the process a local government must follow and facts it must find before creating a development area. The city filed a motion to dismiss the suit in July, which was refuted in a subsequent motion. Attorney William Lear is representing the city. He told the court the former residents were asking for action to cure the harm done to them, which is not possible since the mobile home park no longer exists.
That's the killer, the one that kills their legal argument. And on the taxpayer standing, those other cases make it clear that once you get away from the issue of having to move, then you're left with, do they have an issue that's different than any other taxpayer, any other citizen?
Attorney Ben Carter is representing the former residents, and he argued that the city did not do proper due diligence before creating the tax increment financing district, which paved the way for the sale of the property. There is no timeline for when Judge William Lane will make a ruling.
Moorhead State University Offices of Career Services is holding their resume lab Wednesday. The lab held in Burt Combs Building on MSU's campus is designed for students to either build a resume from scratch or receive feedback on a resume they've already written. Megan Boone, Director of Career Services at MSU, says the lab has several ways to help students who attend.
It is a drop-in event. It runs from 2 until 4 o'clock. It's going to be in Computer Lab in Combs, room 302, so students are just welcome to drop in anywhere within that time when their schedule allows. And it's really an as-needed help event, so students will kind of just, you know, raise their hand as they have a question. We will come around, offer suggestions, tidbits. They'll, right on the spot, implement those changes.
If students already have a resume, Boone says they should bring an electronic copy to receive personalized feedback. Boone says everyone who comes to the event will be asked to mask and social distance to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Local officials are preparing for the worst, but hoping for the best as storms roll into the region this evening. According to the National Weather Service, remnants of Ida will bring 2 to 3 inches of rainfall through Wednesday afternoon, with locally higher amounts possible. The heaviest rainfall is expected overnight, and flash flooding will be possible, as it has in recent experience. Rowan County Emergency Management Director Jason Moore says first responders are ready for whatever might come.
Some of the preparations that emergency management, as well as all of the local fire departments within the city and the county have been doing, is going through all of their storm-ready equipment, their chainsaws, their apparatus to make sure that if we have trees down, if we have high water, our boats are ready, our rafts are ready, all of our PFDs, our throw bags, everything has been serviced recently, and everything is in tip-top shape and ready to go and be utilized for the community.
Moore says minor river flooding will be possible across portions of the Licking River Basin if the heavier rain totals materialize.
As the remnants of the Hurricane Ida dump heavy rains across the Commonwealth, some counties are being hit harder than others. Pike County officials declared a state of emergency Monday after flash flooding took a toll on the county's infrastructure. Nicholas Fleming is the public information officer for the Pikeville Fire Department. He tells WSAZ the department is preparing as more rain approaches the area.
We are preparing for worst case scenario. So, you know, we have a total of 3 boats along with our swift water team that we're getting prepared, getting all of our equipment checked, making sure it's ready to go.
The state of emergency order allows the county to implement its emergency operations plan.
Marshall University resumed a regular schedule today with a few exceptions after yesterday's flash flooding. According to WSAZ, all classes were back to normal this morning except for those on the first floor of the science building and the lower level of the education building. The university said further instruction was forthcoming for students who would be impacted. In the release, officials say Monday's flooding affected several buildings on campus and damage assessments continue.
Kentucky-based teams are deploying to areas in Louisiana hit hard by Hurricane Ida. Emergency Disaster Services had hundreds of line members deploying to New Orleans from the Maysville location. They're setting up many cities, and within 24 hours, they'll be on the ground helping to restore power. Service Director Matt Daly tells WKYT EDS is helping those who are trapped where they are.
People have lost their homes. That means people are, kind of stuck where they're at. I know that as of right now, EMT services are temporarily suspended, which means, you know, if you're calling 911, no one's answering right now, or they're at least they're making note of it.
He says they still have crew members in Kentucky waiting to be deployed to other hard-hit areas as they continue to track Ida's path.
First responders at Jessamine County are ensuring the best pediatric care for Kentucky children by using special training and equipment. Of the places in Kentucky with the highest ratio of pediatric patients to populations, 7 of the 10 counties are in rural Appalachia. Morgan Skaggs, the project director of the Kentucky EMS for Children, tells WKYT giving quality care to all patients is her main priority.
If we don't keep kids on the radar, then we're not going to be prepared when we do encounter those pediatric patients. But we want to make sure that every child in Kentucky, no matter where they are, has access to quality care when it matters most.
Skaggs says their goal is to give paramedics the equipment and training they need to feel confident in their ability to treat patients in any tough situations. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Pikeville Medical Center reopened the respiratory triage unit to help COVID-19 patients dealing with the Delta variant. Patients in the emergency department are being treated in different groups. People with mild symptoms will receive treatment in the triage unit, while patients with more serious conditions will be taken to the COVID ward. Emergency department physician John Fleming tells WSAZ their department may come to a point where they use staff members who have tested positive.
It comes to the point where we don't have enough staff to cover all the patients that we have. We may be forced to use staff who test positive but who are still well enough to work to take care of COVID positive patients.
The Kentucky National Guard will provide logistical and administrative support to local hospitals beginning September 1st.
More Kentucky schools are having to halt in-person classes, at least temporarily, as rising virus cases and quarantines force a change of plans. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Franklin County schools are shifting to at-home learning this week, using up half of the non-traditional instruction or NTI days that is allotted per year. That new restriction was implemented by the Kentucky General Assembly in a bid to avoid the lengthy virtual stints seen throughout 2020 and the start of 2021. But the limited at-home days could prove an increasing problem as more districts across the state feel the pressure to act in response to rising virus cases. Republican Senate President Robert Stivers has indicated that lawmakers may be open to returning more flexibility to schools, but he cautioned that at-home learning comes with its own risk.
There are a lot of social ills, emotional ills with this. We're seeing 5 opioid deaths a day, which most mental health care providers will tell you is due to the isolation, that increase. So it's not just saying, don't go to school. We've got a lot of other things to tie into that and consider into that, and we are.
Like many districts in Kentucky, Fayette County has stressed that in-person classes remain a top priority this year. Quarantine students in the county already number in the hundreds.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, showers likely mainly before noon, cloudy skies that gradually become mostly sunny with a high near 75. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with the low around 58. Thursday, sunny with a high near 76. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 54. And for your Friday, sunny with a high near 78.
On our feature segment today, an Elliott County native has released her debut album. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Originally from Sandy Hook, Leah Blevins relocated to Nashville a little over a decade ago to pursue a career in music.
And just kind of planted my feet here as far as co-writing and networking and developing a better understanding of how the business aspect of this career path, how that all works. But it's all led me to this point of having a debut full-length record.
She had put out some music independently through the years, but her album, First Time Feeling, is her debut from a studio produced at Modern Electric in Dallas, Texas, and the city can be heard throughout the album. Sisters on the low note. Mama's playing piano key. The big Texas grooves are accompanied by some rawness from Blevins' vocals, achieved through using first takes on many of the recordings.
I'm going to give credit to Paul and Bo on that, because if it were up to me, we'd still be working on the vocal things. So Paul made it known that we were going to go with the first take, because I think there's some depth and truth in any first take, if you will.
Paul and Bo are friends and co-producers who can be heard on the album, including the opening track, Afraid. Have you ever been afraid without nowhere to hide? But they also knew when to keep things simple, like in the largely acoustic Little Birds. We got married on a Sunday. Bunch of family and some friends. Like a majority of entertainers, Blevins saw her project hit a snag amid the pandemic. While that second recording session took place in January last year, the album wasn't released until recently, but the reception has been great. First Time Feeling was the second highest debut album on the Americana Music Association's Top 200 chart, entering at number 49.
Definitely all creatives took a hit when it came to shutting down whatever they may have in mind as far as releasing things. But there were a lot of artists who followed through with that, which I commend them for doing. But for me, it was definitely a blessing in disguise, and timing is truly the dictator of all things, and by the grace of the Lord, he saw me through on all that.
Reflecting on the experience as a whole, from recording to release, Levin says reaching this point in her career has been a wonder.
Gosh, it's been one that I've never experienced prior to now, because I've released everything independently up to this point. So it was really signing on with professionals and signing a record deal that allowed me to be able to release these songs the proper way.
First Time Feeling can be heard online with copies available for purchase, along with videos and information for upcoming performances. That's all available at leahblevinsmusic.com. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
It's 69 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cassidy Stearman and Rachel Turner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We'll have a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this rainy Tuesday afternoon. Morehead's Eagles are gearing up for a busy week. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. Playing as an individual, Morehead State senior Bridget Connolly claimed medalist honors, and the women's golf team claimed a team win as Morehead State University faced off with Bellarmine at the Battle at Boone Trace in Richmond Sunday. Morehead State shot a 303 and 300 for a combined 603, bettering the Knights by 30 strokes. Connolly, a native of New Zealand, fired a 72 and 76 to top teammate Haley Ritz, who was part of the lineup, by one stroke. Ritz carded at 75 and 74. Connolly's win was the first of her Eagle career. They return to action September 12th at the Golf Week Conference Challenge in South Carolina. The Morehead State soccer team is gearing up for a couple of road contests this weekend. Still early in the season, the Eagles already have a few games under their belt, sitting at 1-2-1. Most recently tying with Marshall on Sunday. The team won't begin conference play until late next month, but Coach Warren Lipka says there's plenty to keep the team busy until then.
The schedule we've set up has been a really challenging schedule. I mean, good, solid clubs out of, you know, good programs that are good conferences that, you know, are testing us. We've outshot, you know, three out of our four opponents. We really have, you know, developed our attack in this season.
The team heads north on Friday to take on Central Michigan at 6 p.m. Then they'll head to Eastern Michigan Sunday for a 1 o'clock matchup. The Morehead State University volleyball team is set to host the Eagle Challenge this weekend. The event will mark the team's first home matches of the season. The Eagles return from playing in the Classic City Clash in Athens, Georgia over the weekend. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker McBride says the team saw some stiff competition, but it was a great learning experience.
Georgia's a good physical team, but we rebounded really well against Pepperdine. Pepperdine's currently number 22 in the country, and we went pretty tight with them, actually outblocked them, which was a big accomplishment. And then our last match of the weekend was against Winthrop, again, another team who's really good, likely to win their conference, and was able to beat them in four sets.
The Eagle Challenge gets underway Friday, with MSU first facing off with Evansville at 11 a.m. and later playing Cleveland State at 7 p.m. They'll wrap things up Saturday with a 2 o'clock matchup with Radford. And speaking of volleyball, the Round County Senior High School volleyball team is hoping to move forward with their season on Thursday. Currently at 3-5, the Vikings are set to play Boyd County Thursday, but that is depending on if the Lady Lions are lifted out of quarantine by then. Rowan coach Steve Walter says it's been interesting trying to work the kinks out with his young team, saying the shortened season last year has them a little behind on experience.
Really, outside of the seniors, it's hard to count last year as a year of varsity experience. So the girls that were sophomores last year, the girls that were freshmen last year, the ones that are eighth grade that are coming up, they didn't really get the full experience.
First set against Boyd County is set for 7 p.m. Thursday. After that, the Vikings are set to play in a showcase Saturday against Meade, Loken, and LaRue counties. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers. Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years of business in 2021.
Ruth Hunt's long-term success is proven by using fine ingredients and traditional methods in making their confections. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, and Blue Mondays. Sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at RuthHuntCandy.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks edged lower as the S&P 500 wrapped up its seventh straight month of gains at just below all-time highs, with the Dow Industrials finishing with a loss of 39.11 at 35,360.73. The S&P 500 was down 6.11 at 4522.68 after setting a record yesterday, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 6.65 at 15,259.24. And again, the NASDAQ also was at a record level yesterday. And, of course, today marked the last trading day of August, and the major averages posted solid gains for the month. The S&P 500 was up 2.9%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ climbed roughly 4% for its third winning month in a row. The blue-chip Dow lagged but still added 1.2%. And for the S&P 500 index, this is the longest winning streak since a 10-month run ending in December 2017. August was also the S&P's ninth positive month in the last 10. And the index, the S&P index, also notched its 53rd record close of this year yesterday, and some on Wall Street believe more upside is ahead. And the strong run for the S&P 500 came even as the Delta variant of COVID-19 has raised concerns about the path for the economic recovery. And today, Google parent Alphabet pushed back its voluntary return to office to January from mid-October. Zoom shares fell about 16% after the video conferencing software company showed slowing revenue growth in the second quarter, which weighed on the NASDAQ. Shares of Apple also declined, but Amazon stock rose 1% to help offset other losses in the broader markets. Shares of Wells Fargo fell more than 5% in afternoon trading after it was reported that the bank could face further sanctions, as regulators are upset about the pace of progress in compensating victims of Wells Fargo's previous scandals. And Wells Fargo declined all comment on this news, or declined to comment on this news today. Turning now to individual stocks, it was App Harvest down 19 cents at 840. Marathon Petroleum up 34 cents at 59.27, AEP down 5 cents at 89.57, CSX down 57 cents at 32.53, Community Trust Bank was up 6 cents at 41.66, and Lowe's was down $1.10 to finish at 203.89. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, Hallie Adams, Sarah Mead, Ethan Jenkins, Sean Gray, Alyssa White, Lakin Hupp, Shamari Mosley, and Rachel Turner. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons, Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cassidy Stearman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.